Sidon, they served the god of the Philistines. Any gods that came along, they jumped them and grabbed them and served them. And for 18 years, the people of God were oppressed by the Ammonites. Let's just take a look quickly and get our mind here on the historical events before we debate the issue. The Ammonites came in. Mainly, the problem was over here in this area of Gilead. But the Bible says that after 18 years, they even began to cross the Jordan and began to attack these areas of Ephraim and Benjamin as well. It was at this point that these people over here who were suffering most felt like they needed a military leader. Jephthah had been kicked out of his home. We'll probably hear more about that in the debate. He was the leader of a band of soldiers or renegades or whatever you want to call them up there at Tob. They call him back. They make him leader. And that's all I'm going to say. And we're ready now for the debate. Let me give you the ground rules, and I trust that all of you will abide by the rules. First, I want to caution the judges to judge the debate solely on the basis of the arguments presented by the two sides, not on the basis of any preparation that you may have done or preconceived notions. Some of you did research on prosecution, didn't you? Let's see your hands so we'll see how you vote later on, just two. And some of you did research on the acquittal. How many of you? Three. What did you research, Mr. Dix?
On the acquittal.
Okay. Four of you. And two are neutral. One is totally neutral, and then there's Jimmy Joyner, and who knows where he stands. All right. Now, the way the debate will proceed, we'll have the prosecution lead off with their first speaker. You have 2 minutes to present your case. When I say time, that means you stop even in the middle of the sentence and sit down. You address your remarks to the jury. From years past, in the heat of this debate, sometimes there are remarks made back and forth across the aisle, some of which are not appropriate. We don't want any of that this year. You're trying to convince the jury. Okay? Then the defense will have 2 minutes. And then after that, we'll limit you to about 1 minute rebuttals to each other. So line up your speakers. Make your points. I'm not going to say anything except to try to keep you all in line. And then at the end of the hour, we'll let the jury tell us which side they think won the debate and why. So make some notes on what these people say, the points they bring out, maybe the points they don't bring out. Who's leading off for the prosecution? Who's your first speaker? Who? John Marshall, leading off for the prosecution. All right. You ready? Go.
First of all, we want to deal with the scene of the crime. I want you to notice that within the first 10 years after Joshua was dead, Israel fell into a terrible state of apostasy, where any kind of evil practice could have taken place. You notice in Gibeah, as we've already covered in our material, that there was a massive rape of one woman in the city, and followed by a bloody civil war. We also notice that a Levite servant in the house of Micah, and false worship of false gods, idol worship, so we know the corruption within the first generation of Israel in the period of the judges was extreme. Now, looking at settings some 300 years later, their history is cyclical, there is no record, no indication of any improvement in the mind of people in the worship of Yahweh. And so we even come to the point of possible human sacrifice. In Jeremiah 7:31, it says, it deals with the Lord's statement about human sacrifice. The fact that he expressly forbidden in the Mosaic law does not mean that Jephthah was aware of it, or that people kept that law, and they may have violated it. The Lord says, that they offered their sons and daughters in the fire, which I did not command, and it did not come into my mind. Now we want to separate the worship of graven images and such practices as this from that of other gods. They did not necessarily serve other gods in these worship practices. It's true. sacrifices were offered to Moloch. It's true that graven images were erected in worship of other gods, but sometimes these practices were also done in ignorant, false worship of Yahweh. And we accuse Jephthah of this same crime.
Aye. Okay, defense speaker number one.
Judge Wapner, the rest of the people of court, I bring a red light.
Start our defense of Jephthah of this crime that he's been accused. We'd first like to prove that he did not commit any murder, and therefore, if he did not commit a murder, then he is innocent. First of all, Jephthah was well acquainted with the law to be ignorant of God's condemnation of human sacrifice. Second, he must have known that a human being would come out of the house. Furthermore, an animal would have been too small a sacrifice for such a victory. If his daughter would have been slain, there would be no point in emphasizing virginity, which means if she was to work in the temple, if she dedicated to the temple, then her virginity would be questioned before she could work in the temple. Jephthah could not have done this, especially after the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And it also is known that there were women at this time who gave their lives to serving the Lord in the tabernacle of Shiloh. Thus, Jephthah could not have vowed that in case of victory, he would dedicate to God for tabernacle service one member of his household, and it just happened to be his daughter that came out.
Okay, 45 seconds short. Prosecution, second speaker. We'll tack 45 seconds on to another speaker.
In understanding the vow that Jephthah made, we understand that he said he would vow that whoever, whatever, came out of the door first, he would make a sacrifice, first sacrifice. And we understand that in ancient Israel, the vow was not to be violated, and the vows were pledges to perform certain matters in return to deeds he would act as physician. Jephthah made a vow, and thus he could not go back on his word. We also understand that human sacrifice is not foreign to Jephthah. He was brought up in a religious climate of the Moabites and Ammonites, where human sacrifice was considered a noble work. His vow is no doubt would have been considered noble by these transgressors.
Okay, this is out on target for a one-minute rebuttal. We're ready to hear another one-minute rebuttal from the defense.
Mr. Mark Greenwood.
What's up there, Mark?
Chapel business. Some of the key words in our text from the ancient Hebrew can be considered questionable on their translation. There are two such cases which will change the text. The one is an and, which can be translated and or. Part shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer up a burnt offering. It would be either way. Therefore, he would not have to make the human sacrifice. The other is the word lament. It can be also translated to talk with. Therefore, when it says that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament, this could be translated to talk with. Therefore, if it were to talk with a person, how could they be dead?
All right. Ready to hear a rebuttal from the prosecution side.
Okay. Now, the person you talked about there, Mark talked about talking with, is best translated commemorate. Why would they be commemorating someone who was still alive? It just doesn't make sense. You know, to have a commemoration service or to especially remember that person seems to signify that she was dead, had been sacrificed. There's a problem that perhaps they will bring up down the road here about the fact that it says, and she was a virgin, and this was why she was so upset and sorrowful. Well, the fact that in the Hebrew culture,
another speaker from the defense, and then we're going to let both sides take a little recess and reassess their positions. Get on with it here. Who's the next speaker? next prosecution speaker. When are we going to hear from some of the girls? Prosecution. Prosecution. We're ready to hear another speaker here.
I got some secrets.
Can't let you one time around, little person. I'm counting the clock is running. This will be our last round. This is going to be our last round of speeches, and then we'll have questions from the jury. Most of you aren't using the time you have. Clock's running. Wasted 30 seconds.
We found that what Harry just said, that there was no real purpose that Jephthah's daughter was sacrificed except the valley maiden. And how comparing this to Jesus, Jesus being sacrificed, there was the whole purpose for people trying to come, people living dead as brethren.
One last speaker for the defense.
According to Judges and verse 30, Jephthah made a vow unto the Lord, that the vow is to be kept unto the Lord. The vow, whatsoever shall come out of the door to greet me, him shall I make a sacrifice unto the Lord. He must probably see this suspected a servant to come out to greet him. He made it known unto the Lord that he would know it was of the Lord's choosing whomever would come out of, according to verse 31. The Lord was obviously with Jephthah, for he gave the Amorites unto his hands. If the Lord didn't wish the sacrifice to be so, why did he allow the victory? From the verse 35, it says, and it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said also, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. We can only but see the great deep torrents that they have had, that it was once his one and only beloved daughter of which that had come to greet him. So it can be called, so it can't be called murder, but a vow kept. Death had probably made haste his vow unto the Lord, as all men do, with the thing of another. Or another, one thing or another. With this great excitement of knowing he was going to succeed with the Lord, he wished to honor God with a great sacrifice without thinking over the possibilities of severe confidence. I mean, of severe consequence.
Okay. Jury, do you have questions? And let's try to keep the questions balanced now from one side. side to the other, or if one side answers the question, the other side gets a chance to respond, you need to direct your question to a particular person. Okay? Jim, you have a question?
Well, I need you to clarify something before I ask this question. Is the debate here whether or not you killed or dedicated church to service? That's the debate.
I don't want to answer that. Apparently the defense has taken the route, if I understand what I'm hearing, and maybe you should clarify, ask the defense what their position is.
Okay, I'll ask Bobby, what is your defense? What is your position?
You have two opinions, please. Ask the defense, and the thing that the issue is whether it was or not killed. And the other half of our defense is bring up the question as whether should the vow have been made in the first place. Was a foolish vow.
That still didn't answer what you're getting at is, Jim. Can you clarify?
It's for murder.
We wanted to prove first that he didn't kill her at all. So then say that if he didn't kill her, then he wouldn't be guilty of murder.
Okay, then I direct my question to you, Greg. You're trying to prove that he did not kill her. I want to know how come he would tear his clothes if he was dedicating her to serve God.
Because then he wouldn't have any grandchildren. If he was dead, he would be a virgin, if he would never have any grandchildren or anybody to carry on his name.
Does anybody on the prosecution want to respond to that? Mr. Martin.
So I'd like to respond to that. In that Roman scripture, the court women serving at the glory of the King of Eden. There's no record of any of them being virgin. There's no custom in the Old Testament or the New Testament which gives the concept of a virgin in the darkness more holy or more difficult in our service than a married woman.
Okay. Anybody else on the jury want to ask a question? Okay. Cameron?
I'd like to ask this the prosecution, Bryce, and I'd like to know in verse 39 if, as the text reads, if he had fulfilled the vow that he had made, why is it that he then states that she has no relationship with the man? That she had no relationship with the man. Does that seem contradictory to you? In other words, I'm inferring that just...
I object to bring in things that weren't created.
You can't say. You can only ask questions. Bryce, that's a good question. Can you answer it?
It's a big question.
How about anybody on the prosecution?
He was just upset that he wouldn't have a grandkid.
Defense, you want to respond to Cameron's question? Well, listen up.
Well, I'm asking in verse 39 that it's stating that he did fulfill his vow, and then it states that she had no relationship with a man. And I'm asking for an explanation of that. Is that saying that...
Can't answer anymore. It's a good question, but we're not getting a good answer to the question. The prosecution wants another whack at that question.
Are you asking about covenant clause?
Yeah. I'm asking for your interpretation of
that. You find that as we study the scriptures, the different events, and all in the right order in there, that we have to put in the order. So this not necessarily means that he kept his vow, and then he could try to get her out of here. He did not know the man that kept his vow.
Alright, still it's an excellent question and neither side really did it justice.
I got another
one. let's see if anybody else has a question on the jury first. Let's give everybody a chance at somebody else. Mr. Bell.
Yes, I'd like to ask the prosecution if there's any reference to this incident in the New Testament and how we can interpret it from the New Testament.
Alright, there's a hand up.
It's known in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the very 8th chapter. So the court's just asking the man to at least
once acted in faith, but it also missed Gideon. And we know that Gideon had some severe faults in constructing that epidemic in his marriage and his household. So from that, it also mentions Rahab, who was guilty of sinful acts. So from that, we cannot conclude that Jephthah is free from such a sinful act of murder and being his own God.
Okay. Any other questions? Mark? Oh, the defense gets a chance to respond. Oh, wait a minute. We're through with Cameron's question. You had your chance on Cameron's question. Can you respond to this last question? No response. Okay. Mark?
I'd like to ask the defense in verse 39, how would you interpret the scripture where it says that he did with her according to his vow when she returned to him? That he did with her according to his vow.
In the vow, he says, then it shall be that whatsoever shall afford them doors in my house to meet me when I return from the children, it shall be the Lord in the conjunction their hand can also be or. If you put or there, shall surely be the Lord, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So if you either put it in the temple or if you use the word or. If you use the word or, you can choose either dead hand for the Lord or for the burnt offering. Which means that if an animal came out the door, it would be offered up as a burnt offering. And if someone came out as a servant or somebody, then he was dedicated to the temple.
All right, the prosecution gets a whack at the same question there. Well, let's see, Bryce and Mr. Marshall's had several speeches here.
Okay, we find that the translation we're talking about, hand, in verse 31, just in recent times, by different translators, is become translated as sword. But as we look into the ancient manuscript, there is no evidence of foreign images.
Okay, we have time for one more question, jurors, and then we've got to get down to the decision of the hour. James? Anybody else have a question on the jury? Somebody that hasn't asked one want to ask a question? All right, Jim, and the floor is yours.
Yeah, I just want to ask Dan. He said that in verse 40, the word is substituted, translated memory.
Defense, you want to respond?
Since the ancient Hebrew is not spoken anymore, some of the translations have been lost in study. And it could be, you know, who is one person to say which is best?
Okay, now, I'm ready for each of them. We're going to poll the jury here. We're not going to let them deliberate. We're going to poll the jury. Starting with Mr. Sherry, and I want you to, on the basis, no more questions, I'll give you the instructions. On the basis of the evidence presented in this courtroom, not evidence that you dug up, by either side, is Jephthah a murderer? Mr. Sherry, that tells why or why not. What argument moves you the most? And you have to be very quick because we're running out of time.
I would have to go with the prosecution and then just the fact that they were seemed a little more organized than the defense did in the presentation.
All right, Mark?
I'd have to agree with the prosecution and I think that the scripture that they presented was just as this sort of simply reported by the author, and it was in no way justified by God, and that it was just reporting, and the prosecution said that much sin began taking place, and that they had worshipped false gods.
Okay, Mark, I'll have to cut you off. Jim?
Well, I changed mine. I'm with the defense because of their opening statement.
decide.
So if you take a vow to kill somebody and then go ahead and kill them, it's not murder? That's right. Okay, Pat?
I feel that the defense came up with a lot more points that they brought out than the prosecution did. So I go with the defense.
Cameron?
I go with the prosecution. I feel like the literal translation of it was proven, was better proven than the
defense. Mr. Dow?
I go for acquittal. Prosecution's failure to explain 30-39.
Okay, so what does the count come out? How many have you voted?
5-3.
5-3, which direction?
Oh,
all right, now I have one more question. One more, hands down, I got one more question. Hands down, Lisa. I want everybody to look down in their heart of hearts, regardless of which side you were assigned to, because that was arbitrary. You've researched, no doubt, both sides in your heart of hearts. Now that the debate is over, how many think he actually killed his daughter?
Actually
killed her. How many think that he did not actually kill his daughter? Okay, so we have some that were on the opposite. See, anybody on the prosecution actually think he did not kill her? Only one. All right, well, I thank you all for a good debate. A lot of points did not get brought out, but still, I thought that you made some good points. Yes, turn these papers in. That's your quiz for today.
Significant, Dr. Smith, that in 2 months' time, no priest got involved.